Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
So I'm way more fired up than I should be about a couple of quarterbacks that are starting in the NFL. I'll get to those in a minute. But first, I want to give away some U of H Texas A&M basketball tickets. Power dribble. Houston A&M coming up at the Fertitta Center on Sunday. An exhibition game as Houston hosting A&M. 4 o'clock Sunday inside the Fertitta Center. Proceeds from the game will benefit the greater Houston area, Houston Disaster Alliance Hurricane Barrel Recovery Fund, which assists those, of course, who are affected by the horrible storm. Tickets are available right now, uhcougars.com/tickets. 2 top 20 teams, Houston A&M in a rematch of what was a fantastic NCAA tournament game a year ago. Giving away a pair of, actually 4 tickets, to caller number 3 right now to 713-780-3776. So caller number 3 to 713-780-3776. A high-level college basketball inside the Fertitta Center Sunday. Houston Cougars hosting the Texas A&M Aggies. And you can get your tickets at uhcougars.com/tickets. All right, way too excited for 2 quarterbacks that are going to be starting on Sunday.
Okay.
First one, I really want to see what – unfortunate that Andy Dalton injured his thumb in this car accident and can't go Sunday. I hate the circumstances around this. But I'm really eager to see what Bryce Young looks like after having a few games off. Like, does he look better? Does he show a little bit of what made him the number one pick? Or does he look like Bryce Young the first few games this year, last year? Because if he looks like that, I think the Panthers give up on him.
Yeah, it really sucks if you're Andy Dalton, because this might be the last chance to, you know, prove that you can keep this thing going. And at this point in his career, he was playing decent football. And, you know, you get derailed not by a hit on the field, but by a car accident. Thank God him and his family, they're okay. But you're right. From a Bryce Young perspective, yeah, he got some garbage time last week. But overall, the biggest thing is what did you learn while you were sitting down, and how can you maximize that to show that you belong in this league as a starting quarterback? That's going to be really interesting to see, because of the fact that how the mighty have fallen, and so quickly he went from number one overall pick to a guy that a lot of people are doubting if he can start in the NFL. So I am curious as well to see how he plays and if he's learned anything while he was sitting.
I don't think he's going to look good either. They're playing Denver. They're playing the
Broncos.
Yeah,
their defense is going to be all over the place.
At Denver, too. So, like, it's bad timing for Bryce Young, because you would really like it if you could cherry-pick a matchup against a poor defensive team.
Especially like secondary-wise, too.
Yeah, you're playing, like, Tampa. Okay, Tampa's pretty bad defensively. But, no, you're going on the road at Denver, and what might amount as a tryout to see, you know, if Carolina's going to give up on you or not as the number one quarterback a year ago. The second one that I'm really excited to see, the Cleveland's going all in with the Jameis Winston experience. Now, they get Baltimore. It's not much better than Bryce Young going on the road at Denver, although Baltimore's defense I don't think has been as good as Denver's defense. But Jameis Winston, like, I think that Jameis Winston has a good chance to throw for 250 yards, 3 touchdowns, but also get picked off 5 times. I'm here for the Jameis Winston experience.
Yeah, you look at what Tampa Bay was able to do against that Baltimore defense, and if they weren't able to do anything else, Tampa was able to throw the football. And Baker, yeah, he threw it to the other team a couple times. That's on Baker. But you know what? They were able to have some success throwing. It'll be interesting to see if Jameis can do this and can try to do something positive for a Cleveland franchise that looks like it's pulling the plug, looks like it's trying to move some guys, looks like it's trying to hit the reset button no matter when Deshaun and if Deshaun Watson comes back. It was weird to me that Jameis was all the way down to the emergency quarterback or the third string quarterback a week ago.
Apparently that was some strategy. Like they did that out of like some strategic reason. Huh. Like I've been reading that if Watson had gotten hurt, that Winston would have started the next game anyways. Okay. So there's something strategic about that. I'm not sure what or why, but that's what I've read.
But this is the smart move. And look, he has been a guy that a lot of fans have been drawn to because of not just the speeches, but because he seems to be all in on Cleveland and the fact that he, you know, really wants this chance. He's paid his dues in New Orleans. He paid his dues here. Now he gets a chance to see what he can do. I'm going to be curious to see if he's capable of being a quarterback in the NFL again.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see what the Jameis Winston experience looks like. And they also switch play callers. They're going with Ken Dorsey to call plays instead of Stefanski. So that's kind of a weird move. It's like, okay, Deshaun's gone, and then Stefanski has his first chance to improve at quarterback, and then he gives up play calling.
You think that's to cover his own rear end? At the end of the year, he can say, hey, look, I wasn't calling plays, if you want to pick on the offense, for a guy that's been known as an offensive play caller?
I would think that you would want a couple of games with the new quarterback, because it's like, look what I can do whenever I have a quarterback.
Maybe. Okay.
I don't really understand.
Because I just think, you know, you can't get rid of Deshaun because of the contract. And so the coach is going to be the guy that takes it. So maybe this is a way to kind of give yourself a layer to say, hey, look, I turned play calling over to somebody else.
Yeah, it just feels like it's too late for that.
Probably.
Like, it feels like it's too late for that move. I think that the better saving grace to save yourself or to improve the approval rating, whether it's with the fans or whether it's with your bosses, is to do it for, you know, a few games with Jameis Winston, and then the offense looks way better. And then it's like, well, look, Kevin Stefanski's calling a pretty good offense with what has been a backup quarterback in the NFL. Maybe it is Deshaun Watson. But I don't really understand it. Maybe Dorsey's better with, you know, guys who can throw the ball better. Like, I don't really know. Like, it doesn't seem like that would be the case for an offensive coordinator.
Stefanski seems to have had a good career in orchestrating offenses in the past. I'm a little curious as well, because, you know, maybe you make this move. He didn't want to make a move prior to this, because if Dorsey has success with Deshaun, then it looks like he didn't know what he was doing.
Maybe. Yeah, it could be something like that. Puka Nacua's playing tonight. Mm-hmm. Out of nowhere. I don't think anybody expected him to come back for tonight's game. They're also getting Cooper Kupp back, the L.A. Rams. Rams are 2.5-point dogs in this one at home tonight. Public money's like 90% on Minnesota, which people like to run away from public money because they trust Vegas more than they trust the public. But I'm excited to see what Puka and Cooper Kupp look like together. A lot of people are saying trade deadline, Rams are going to be sellers. We've heard Cooper Kupp for a second. Rams are willing to take money. They've denied the Matthew Stafford rumors, but those have even been out there. I think if the Rams win tonight, I think that they hold pat and see what they can do. Because they win tonight, they're 3-4, and you're only a game behind Seattle in what has been a bad NFC West.
Yeah, you know that we just got done talking to Lee Sterling about the fact that the San Francisco 49ers aren't the runaway leader of that division, and they look like they could be going south way more, just as easily as they could be getting back into the middle of the playoff picture. We know that Seattle doesn't look great. They just look like they're kind of treading water, and they're okay. Arizona the same way. This could be a game where they could get right, and then they could realize they still got a fighter's chance to do something in the NFC. But if not, we've got auditions all over the league right now because of the trade deadline and because of the fact that Cooper Kupp had to answer questions this week, and he basically said, I am where my feet are on the ground this week and next week and wherever I'm going to be. And if people are watching this to see his health and if he looks decent and they lose the football game, I think there's a pretty good chance that you're going to get some calls about Cooper Kupp helping out some teams that are going in the right direction. The Stafford thing to me was interesting at the time, but it was also even more interesting that supposedly Minnesota was the team that was talking to them. And that's a slap in the face to Sam Darnold, who's been a huge reason why, aside from the defense, your team is doing what it's capable of doing this year. It's a very intriguing game for all of that.
Who would you rather have be your starting quarterback, Sam Darnold or
Matt Stafford?
Yeah, so why would you
don't think it's a slap in the face to Sam Darnold? Because if you're Sam Darnold, you look at the Minnesota depth chart and like, okay, well, a year from now, J.J. McCarthy is going to take my job. So maybe the trade to the Rams, where you play in a similar system under Sean McVay, is actually a good thing.
Well, do we think it would be quarterback for
quarterback? Yeah, I don't think it's quarterback for quarterback.
That's the rumor I've been hearing, is quarterback for quarterback.
Everybody denied the rumor,
Sure. I mean, of course. Well, why wouldn't they deny the rumor? They have every reason to. I'm just saying, if that rumor is true, let's live in that hypothetical world that it's quarterback for quarterback, then I think it makes sense for Sam Darnold long term, where he gets to go play in a similar system where he's not blocked by an upcoming younger quarterback.
The only way the trade would make some sort of sense for Sam Darnold, for him to be okay with it, is if he was still a starter with a different team with a chance to maybe get a long term deal.
That's what the Rams
Otherwise,
would be.
You're 5-1. You're getting a ton of credit for being the reason why they're 5-1, and I'd be pissed off if this trade happened any other way than me going to another situation where I'm starting, and I'd still be pissed off because
that's what the Rams are. It's a situation you'd be starting, and you'd have a chance to get a long-term contract. You're not getting that Minnesota with J.J. McCarthy behind you.
Okay. First off, I'm not worried about the feelings of Sam Darnold. If I'm the Minnesota Vikings and I'm trying to win a Super Bowl, I don't care what Sam Darnold is thinking. Secondly, Sam Darnold's a free agent at the end of the year. So, like, in what provide Sam Darnold the opportunity to have more success and show off ahead of free agency. Being on the Minnesota Vikings, who are one of the best teams in the NFC, with Justin Jefferson, with Jordan Addison, with Aaron Jones, with Hawkinson coming back, or going to the Rams, who are going to be trading away all of their pieces. So, yes, if I'm Sam Darnold, I'd much rather be in Minnesota than L.A.
Well, I'm sure you'd rather be in Minnesota, but if Sean McVay, who running a similar system, is trading for you, I think he's already put a stamp on approval of what you've done so far.
The willingness to trading for Sam Darnold. The trade is more about trading away Matthew Stafford. And again, Darnold's a free agent at the end of the year. So, like, what puts him in the biggest position to capitalize and make the most amount of money? Look, McVay can watch what Sam Darnold's doing in Minnesota and sign him in the offseason if they unload Matthew Stafford either at the deadline or this offseason. So he doesn't need to be in L.A. to draw the lust of Sean McVay and get this big contract. If I'm Sam Darnold, I want to be in the best position to then position myself in free agency. Obviously, it's Minnesota.
Yeah, that's the way I see it as well, simply because of the fact that, you know, he's only going to get probably this one last chance. And so if he's continuing to have success, then basically, no matter where he ends up when he's a free agent, this is about the Rams trying to unload Stafford's contract and to just press the reset button at quarterback, hoping to get a cheaper deal with a guy that they can work with. But if I'm Sam Darnold and I'm playing for my best possible scenario for next season financially, then I want to keep doing what I'm doing because I'm getting a whole lot of love for being one of the reasons why a team that nobody had being a true playoff team in the NFC, being a team that is at the top of the NFC.
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, what better situation could you walk into than a quarterback for Sean McVay? I mean, we've seen him do this before with quarterbacks.
He's in one right now.
I know, but he doesn't have a future there next year, and if Sean McVay and the Rams are willing to pay him now, then he can take that now. There's no reason to even go to free agency.
I don't think that the motive for the L.A. Rams in a trade for Matthew Stafford is so they can acquire Sam Darnold and immediately give him a contract extension.
I mean, that's the rumor. We cannot believe it, but that's the rumor.
To give him a contract extension?
Yeah.
Okay. If that were to happen, I will eat crow and say, my bad, I'm wrong. I just don't see that the L.A. Rams, if they're unloading everybody, that they're going to then sign a veteran quarterback to lead them into the future with nothing around them, other than Puka.
The only thing I can think of, too, if they need a quarterback, the only reason why that would make even a glimmer of sense is because even if they suck, their picks are all been traded away. I don't know what they have coming up in terms of being able to find a quarterback elsewhere. But to Jeremy's point, you can just sign him at the end of the year if he has a good year. You don't have to worry about it. Yeah, you're unloading Stafford's contract, but do you want a guy that's that far down the road with a team that's going to put a whole bunch of young pieces on the team?
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have their first rounder next year. So maybe that adds a little bit more credibility to what Brian's saying. Then they have their first after that, it looks like. So, yeah, this is their final year where they don't have a first.
Okay.
No, wait, they do have their first. They do have their first this year. They don't have their second, they don't have their third, and they don't have their fifth, but they do have their first.
If I'm Sam Darnold, I know the playbook, I know the system, I got all the weapons in the world, the team is having a ton of success that was unexpected, and aside from Brian Flores' defense, I'm the main reason why people are saying the Vikings have taken a step up. Mm. I don't want to leave.
Yeah, I would very much rather be in Minnesota than L.A. Yeah.
This
the
year,
final
for
year.
Sure.
Yeah, but he's a free agent. He can go to L.A. in the offseason.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not saying you wouldn't be upset because his chance to win the Super Bowl basically goes to zero if he goes to the Rams, but I think there are worse landing spots than going to play with Sean McVay with weapons like Puka and Kyron.
9506 says, excuse me, they have Jordan Whittington. Yeah, Jordan Whittington has been given every opportunity.
Yeah,
he hasn't run away with it. Tutu Atwell is getting more exposure than Jordan Whittington. Even this, I think it's Tyler Johnson, is getting more run than Whittington did last week. And then, again, they're getting Cooper Kupp and Puka back. Like, Whittington's still a rookie, but he's not really a feature point of that offense. Blaine says, Chiefs try to go after Cooper, still after getting Hopkins. I read something that if Kansas City's going to be active at the deadline, it will not be for receiver. It looks like they're done at receiver. And there was also some rumors and reports that Hollywood Brown would be back for the postseason. So maybe that
The Cooper Kupp rumor I've been reading is Steelers, which would make some sense. They were in on Ayuk in the offseason. So, you know, with Russell Wilson, maybe they have higher expectations for their passing game. So I could see them making that move to pair him with George Pickens.
I think if the Rams win, they don't sell anybody.
If they win, they don't sell anybody.
Steelers make sense because they were trying to get in on Devontae Adams, too. At least that's what the rumors
were.
So they are looking to upgrade at wide receiver, but a lot of teams are.
Those are just such different receivers. Like Adams and Ayuk, like these big bodied receivers, and then Cooper Kupp, who's really like a possession guy. He's a possession guy versus
Pickens in that scenario would be the bigger body
end.
down the field guy.
0979, Andy Dalton only won one game. Yeah, Bryce Young won how many games? And then Keith from L.A., we, the Rams, can use some draft capital for Cooper Kupp. Move up to get Sanders in the draft. Shedeur Sanders doesn't seem like a McVay guy to me.
And Deion has to approve of where he's going.
I mean, if I'm Deion, I would approve of McVay.
One he should.
That wasn't on his initial list, though.
Who was on his list?
It was all the teams that Deion had played for. Yeah. The Cowboys, Niners, Atlanta, Ravens, Commanders, out. And the Falcons.
Well, that's bad parenting if he doesn't think that Shedeur should go to Sean McVay. One of the best offensive minds in the NFL. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Do you want to win fantasy football this week? Then you need to listen to Adam Ronis. Join us next. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We head to the HRNP guest line, being joined by Adam Ronis, host of Fantasy Life on Sirius XM, the CEO, the boss behind the Dub Club. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam Ronis. Adam, a lot of intriguing fantasy perspectives. First, let's start with tonight's game. Not only is Cooper Kupp going, but they've activated Puka. Puka's going to play as well. Can you trust any Ram receivers tonight to play in your fantasy football matchup this weekend?
Yeah, I think we can trust Cooper Kupp. It sounded like he might have been able to play this past Sunday, and the thinking probably was we have a game on Thursday. Let's be cautious. Sit him out Sunday and get him ready for Thursday. And they won the game. They're 2-4. There's a lot of trade rumors going around Cooper Kupp. But if they win this game tonight, they're one game behind the Seahawks, and they actually play Seattle next week. So I will trust Cooper Kupp. Puka Nacua is more dicey to me. They said that they don't know how much he's going to play. It'll be determined on pregame warm-up. He hasn't done anything full speed either in a while. So to me, he's more risky. But I think if you have Cooper Kupp, you can play him.
Adam, I'm looking at, we were talking about last segment, some of the guys that are going to be in and how that affects not just those guys, but the offenses that they're going to be in charge of with Bryce Young getting a second chance in Carolina, with Jameis Winston now taking over Cleveland. Does that a positive for some of the guys or a negative for some of the guys that maybe in the last week or two, especially in the case of Sam Darnold but the Red Rocket and Andy Dalton, that it looked like maybe their offensive weapons might get a little more love fantasy-wise?
It's a huge downgrade for the Panthers, and it's a big problem in fantasy because Deontay Johnson, we've already seen two games this year with Bryce Young, and they were awful. Two catches, 19 yards, three catches, 15 yards. So he was unplayable. And now you're going up against the Denver Broncos on the road, who have a great defense, and Patrick Surtain, I'm assuming, is going to be back after missing last week with a concussion. So he's likely to shadow Deontay Johnson, who's been dealing with some injuries. He doesn't want to be there. He said he can't play every position. Rumors about him being dealt, so I don't see how you can play him. I understand we're dealing with a lot of dicey wide receiver situations this week with all the injuries that have occurred throughout the NFL, so you might be in a situation where you're like, I got to put him in. Hopefully you don't. And even Chuba Hubbard is dicey as well. You know, most weeks we've been saying, all right, put him in there. He's been putting up great numbers, but we saw two games earlier this year as well with Young. Week one, he had six carries for 14 yards, didn't even have a target in the game. And then the next week, he was 10 for 64 on the ground with four catches for 12 yards. So it just basically brings down the entire Panthers offense. Is there a chance Bryce Young all of a sudden sitting and watching has gotten better? Possibly, but I don't think you want to risk that. For Cleveland, though, I think you actually feel better about a lot of things because Deshaun Watson was just playing awful football. To me, the biggest upgrade here is David Njoku. He went from a guy that you were unsure if you were starting him to me, basically a top five tight end right now that you really want to get him in there. We know Winston. He's going to take gambles. He's going to take shots. He's going to make mistakes, but he's also going to give his receivers an opportunity. And we saw Njoku last week with 14 targets, 10 receptions, 76 yards, and a touchdown. So I feel good about Njoku and even Cedric Tillman, who came on last week as well. He was a big pickup off the waiver wire this week. They're playing Baltimore, who has been excellent against the run. So we saw Nick Chubb come back and have that touchdown. He wasn't really efficient, just 22 yards rushing. So they'll continue to feed Nick Chubb. in a tough matchup. But Baltimore, the way to attack them is via the pass. And they've been giving up a lot of passing production. They've allowed the second most fantasy points to wide receivers. So I think with Cleveland, you feel better just because Watson was just bringing the offense down and he was so bad. Carolina just downgrades across the board where it's really difficult to start anyone, especially going in against that Denver Broncos defense.
Adam Ronis joining us here on the Killer Bees. Adam, taking it here locally to the Texans, Tank Dell after Nico Collins leaves with the hamstring injury, good first week, caught the touchdown pass against New England, and maybe if he catches the early touchdown pass at Green Bay, we're talking about him differently. But I'm curious on two fronts, your trust level on Tank Dell and also with C.J. Stroud, because I think C.J. Stroud, what we've seen so far early in his career, is he's a greater real-life quarterback than a fantasy quarterback, and maybe someone that we have to view as not necessarily an every week start, but a matchup play. What are your views right now on C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell while Nico Collins is out?
Yeah, they've been disappointing. But when you look at this week with C.J. Stroud, there's so many other quarterbacks that are dealing with situations that it really puts them in the top 12, because you have Baker Mayfield, who lost Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, so you don't feel as good about him. Patrick Mahomes is just not putting up stats right now. He's got a good matchup this week, but he's got 6 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. You got Dak Prescott, who has to go on the road, and San Francisco hasn't been playing well. Brock Purdy, who are going to be his B receivers this week. So there's a lot of question marks around him with some of the other quarterbacks. Geno Smith, who's facing Buffalo and might be without DK Metcalf. So Stroud's someone, if you have him, you're likely going to start him. At least it's a better matchup here against Indianapolis, who has not been great defensively. And Diggs and Tank Dell, you're pretty much starting them as well. Yeah, last week was bad. You know, the offensive line had some issues, but I think you're expecting Tank Dell to be better going forward here in a good matchup against Indy.
Adam, what am I to do with the 49ers? Ayuk done. Debo has pneumonia. Jennings has been battling an injury. Pearsall first game back after an exit wound. What am I supposed to do with these San Fran fantasy footballers?
I think you have to wait it out and see who plays. I did see Debo Samuel was back at practice today, so that's a good sign. He obviously is going to benefit immensely without Brandon Ayuk. And that's the problem I've had with the 49ers all these years. It's just like, how can all of these guys, Kittle, Ayuk, Debo, they can't all be top at their position every single week. And they've had the injuries now. So Debo is in a great spot. And Juwan Jennings, too. Now, that's going to be the key. Does he play? I actually did go out there and spend a lot of money on him in one of my leagues. But I knew there's a possibility he might not play this week. And next week, the 49ers are on a bye. So I might have to wait 2 weeks for him. But that seems in a spot where I could afford to wait. But we saw Jennings earlier this year when he filled in. He was great. He's been there. He knows the system. Purdy trusts him. So him and Debo and Ricky Pearsall, you know, it's going to depend on who's active. If Jennings is out, then I think you can roll with Pearsall this week. They're going up against the Cowboys, who have just been horrible defensively and might not get back some of their players. So the 49ers, to me, that's like the biggest situation that I'm eyeing right now, where I'm kind of waiting to see what happens. So I think you just got to wait till we get the final practice reports on Friday and maybe make those decisions Sunday morning, knowing who's active. But if Debo's active, clearly he's in. Kittle was even dealing with a foot injury. He'll be in. And then if Jennings is active, I am going to play him.
Adam, when you look at some of the sleepers for this week, who are you looking at that might be someone or a couple of guys that some people should be looking at that maybe they haven't thought of, or guys that are going to be kind of forced into action? And then on the other flip side of that, who are you staying away from this week because of bad matchups defensively, especially?
Yeah, we mentioned Carolina as a team to stay away from because of the matchups. I think a guy that I'm keeping an eye on is Rashad Bateman, and that's because Zay Flowers didn't practice again today. Flowers hurt his ankle in that game against Tampa, and he did come back, but I don't think he had a target the rest of the game. And Bateman has been getting open. This offense is playing really well right now. They're going up against the Browns, so Rashad Bateman is a guy that gets a good matchup here, and especially if Zay Flowers is out, that's going to open up things for him. I'm really intrigued to see what Tampa does as a receiver this week. I really like Jalen McMillan. I drafted him in so many leagues. I wound up cutting him over the last couple weeks, which was brutal, but, you know, you have to make tough decisions. You had 5 weeks, you had injuries. McMillan was still the third receiver on the team. He actually was hurt a week as well. But now there's a big opportunity for him, especially if they move him to the slot. That's the key. That's what I'm watching, because we know Chris Godwin was in the slot in this offense, and he was really benefiting from that. is it going to be him or Sterling Shepard? McMillan, to me, obviously has the higher ceiling. Shepard's the veteran. So I'm going to keep an eye on that. I mentioned Cedric Tillman as a possibility as well. And Hunter Henry for the Patriots as well. He's really been putting up numbers the last 2 weeks. 14 receptions, 133 yards, and a touchdown. With Drake May at quarterback, he's at least put some life into the Patriots offense.
Adam Ronis joining us here from SiriusXM Fantasy. Adam, DeAndre Hopkins moves from the Titans to the Chiefs. I'm curious if you think he's basically been a zero this year outside of one game where he caught a touchdown. So I'm curious what your thought is on his potential fantasy boost now going to the Chiefs. And then the grosser part of this equation, I mean, Calvin Ridley's pretty much the only thing left in Tennessee. He, too, has only had one good game this year. He's been pretty much invisible. But is this a situation with DeAndre Hopkins gone where Calvin Ridley suddenly becomes kind of playable in your flex?
Well, Ridley had a game recently of 8 targets and no receptions, so now he'll go up to 12 and get 1 reception. So, yeah, you upgrade Ridley a little bit. But he's not practicing today, too, with a foot injury. So they're a mess there. You want to say yes for Ridley, but we just haven't seen anything, and they're going against Detroit on the road. So it's a really tough spot. So I want to see it first. As far as Hopkins, yes, it's an upgrade. I mean, this is as good as it gets for Hopkins, who was playing on a non-competitive team. He also has been dealing with injuries. He had an MCL issue back in late July, so I'm sure that's a factor. But we see, you go to Kansas City, and everything is cured. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster has done nothing for years. He has a 7-catch, 130-yard game. Kareem Hunt, no one wanted him. He was sitting on the couch. He comes in, is now getting 20-plus touches every single game. So when you go to Kansas City, you are blessed with a new life. Everything goes well. You don't lose games. Your quarterback is one of the favorites for MVP with 6 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. Things are great in Kansas City.
Adam Ronis, you can catch him on the Fantasy Life on SiriusXM and then the Dub Club. And you're killing it on the Dub Club. 16 games above 500 in the NFL. And you got a special deal for listeners, huh?
Yeah, definitely. You can check it out. NFL's been going well, 34-18. NBA as well, went 3-1 in the NBA last night. So I have a special right now. 75% off your first month. So go to my Twitter or X at Adam Ronis. Click on that link. It's for a limited time. So make sure you take advantage of it now.
Appreciate it as always, Adam. Have a great fantasy football weekend.
You guys as well.
Adam Ronis. Catch him on Fantasy Live SiriusXM, host of the Dub Club as well, where he's been killing it on the Dub Club. All right, Bad Take Boulevard. What belongs on Bad Take Boulevard? What are the worst takes of the week? Similar to, maybe betting Bronny James to score more than 1.5 point. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word for Doc Linville and his staff. Doc Linville, best in the business at getting your hair back. Yeah, you probably don't know what the Neograft procedure is unless you've listened to me and Granato and the others that have had the procedure. But you need to if you're losing your hair. The Neograft procedure is a phenomenal way to get your own hair back. And it's your hair. It's not fake hair. It's not spray hair. It's not all the gimmicks that you see on TV. No, it's your hair. And it's taken from a place that genetically you're never going to lose it, which is the sides and the back of your head. And I found that out in a free consultation that I had with Doc and his staff that I wasn't aware of. You never lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other areas. So we take some of that in the Neograft procedure, puts it where you need it most, almost like replanting sod in your lawn. And the next thing you know, you see the follicles there, and they get really settled in, and they get their deep roots settled in. And the next thing you know, in 6 to 9 months, you've got thick, strong hair that grows the same direction and is the same color as your rest of your hair. And you have it for the rest of your life because he's taking it from a spot where it never goes away. The same thing with PRP treatments. Maybe you do have hair left on your head. It's just thinner than it was. It doesn't look, it's brittle. It doesn't look the way it used to, and you don't like it. The PRP treatment, kind of like fertilizing your lawn, gets that grass to kind of thicken out again and be stronger, longer, and better for you for the rest of your life. They are fantastic treatments and procedures, and it's all at Doc Linville's office right in the Med Center. All you got to do to get in touch with them, go to 975hair.com. You go there and you get the consultation just like I did for free. Everybody off the street pays $150. You listen to us, you want to talk to them, you get that consultation by going to 975hair.com. Sign up, go in, ask questions, get answers, have them explain everything to you, see if you might be the next in line to get the procedure or the treatments, and maybe you can see what I did, which is instantaneous. spontaneously, I've got hair again. And in 6 to 9 months, it has looked fantastic. It continues to look great. I am as happy as I can be. You could be next in line. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com. Sign up and tell them I sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
It is the Bees, ESPN 975, ESPN 925. What belongs on Bad Take Boulevard this week? 713-780-3776. I don't know if you guys remembered this, but Tony Romo gave the Houston Texans all at the end of the first half whenever they were on the road at Green Bay. He felt good about things. He thought that the Texans were on the brink of winning that game. Here was Tony Romo, the worst A-team color commentator in the NFL.
And I think the Texans have kind of figured out structurally how to actually attack this Green Bay defense, and I think they have a great chance now to win this game.
There you go. They figured out the Packers defense. They were in for a dominant second half offensively. And not only were they going to figure things out and perform offensively, they were going to win that game. They were going to win the game. Tony Romo nailed it.
He is definitely.
You just made the list.
You know, from all the rumors you hear about the fact that, you know, first he was all dialed in and he couldn't wait to get to the different cities and talk to the different players and coaches. And now they say, like, it's hard getting him there in time for the game, let alone to watch practice and do those things. You listen to him, he's lost his fastball. It's not entertaining to listen to, and he's not as accurate. And, like, the one thing that everybody was drawn to, which was him kind of making play calls and kind of analyzing the game.
I was never a fan.
Oh, I thought he was. I thought it was really intriguing because it was a new wrinkle to have a guy that's an ex-quarterback basically read defenses on the fly and tell you where the play's going and what was happening.
Couldn't stand it. Couldn't stand it. I thought he was overrated from the moment that he started doing it. People loved him for whatever reason. I never understood the Romo thing. But that's not what you're supposed to do as a color guy. You're supposed to break down what happened, not tell me what you're predicting is going to happen.
Right, but then, you know, I still think after the play happened, he then would elaborate on it a little bit further. But at the same time, I think because it was something new, it was like the new bell and whistle that no one else had done in broadcasting that we hadn't seen, that everybody was enamored with.
Yeah. Next up on Bad Take Boulevard, Tony Romo. He's the reason the Texans lost. So ESPN Game Day this past weekend, they all picked Texas to beat Georgia. And Kirby Smart, safe to say, took it a little bit personal.
Nobody gave us a chance. Your whole network doubted us. Nobody believed us. And then they tried to rob us with calls in this place. And these guys are so resilient. You know what I mean? We talked about intent. What was our intent when we walked on the field? Our intent was not to take pictures, not to do all the superstar stuff. Our intent,
hell yeah,
our intent was to eat.
Eat. He's a dog.
Hey, go dogs.
Brian was shaking his head.
The whole time, Brian was shaking his head.
There's nothing more annoying to me in sports than the
somebody
athlete.
Who beat Texas?
Well, that's on the list. No, but the athlete or the coach of a highly ranked team that has lost, what, one regular season game in the last 2.5 years? No one believed in us.
They're underdogs.
Everybody was betting against them, except me.
Everybody on game day.
Pat McAfee picked against you on game day?
Not just Pat McAfee. All of them. Saban did. Lee Corso did.
Oh, Desmond Howard picked against you, too?
They all did.
Whoa, is you, Kirby Smart. My bad.
I hear a little bitterness.
I see defensiveness and bitterness.
Brian, bitterness looks so ugly on you, Brian. Bitterness looks so ugly on you.
The pass blocking continues. Just pushing and backing and pushing and backing.
Oh, no one believed in us. We're Georgia. Shut up.
They were favorite. They were underdogs.
They were technically, +4 underdogs. But they've lost one regular season game in 2.5 years. No one believes in us.
Someone's bitter. A lot of people got with the NFL meme tweet with Deshaun Watson got hurt. He was carted off the field. Then the NFL meme dubbed some wrestling. You deserve it, blah, 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 blah. There's a few people that got with this. There's the
just
chance.
An unbelievable sign. Deshaun Watson
great
carted off the field. This was seconds ago.
You get the gist. NFL meme dubbed that you deserved it over the TV broadcast. And there were some people out there, you know who you are, like Brandon Scott, Will Kunkel, that fell for this on the internet. They fell for that. So they got, and because of that, those fellas and everybody else who fell for it, you know who you are, you made the list.
You just made the list!
You guys tried to get me with that.
Yeah, you just... I don't know what you did, though. Like, you just kind of, like, pretended like it didn't happen.
No, I just pretended, like, honestly, like, it did happen, which I didn't hear it, that I had not seen that, but I did see when they cheered.
Yeah, you didn't really.
I think Joel had his head on a swivel. I think he suspected the screen pass we were trying to sneak by him.
I wonder why.
It was crazy, though. Like, he didn't even acknowledge it. He just, like, went on with his take. I was like, oh, okay. Well,
acknowledge me!
Cold shoulder. So, an all-time bad food take. All-time bad food take. This guy who does radio in Colorado. That's all I know about him. Does radio in Colorado. I saw this on the timeline today. Colorado has the best Mexican food, better than California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, better than Mexico, Mexican food, taco emoji. So Jeff Hunt.
Is this guy a chef or is he own a restaurant or is he a food blogger?
He's a host on some conservative radio in Colorado.
Would you find a restaurant that actually had something that you really, really took a liking to but that you just decided to overly boast about and just... go off the deep end.
I can see someone with roots here or somewhere that would come with a background in cooking Mexican food moving to Colorado, opening in a great restaurant. But that'd be one restaurant. That's not the entire state versus states that live it every single day. So, yeah, it's a bad take.
Yeah, so Jeff Hunt, you made the
you list. Just made the list!
Although I think he accomplished what he was trying to accomplish. 37,000 views. Ooh, and really?
Yeah, he got what he wanted.
A lot of animosity in the responses.
He's getting ratioed, but, I mean, he farmed engagement. He kind of executed. He actually followed me after I put him on the list, too, which is kind of weird. Here's a question for you, though. Is Texas Tex-Mex better than Mexico Mexican food?
I think that there's a specific kind
it's
of...
two different.
Yeah, there's
so
a
different.
Taste.
Very
you have,
different.
Yeah, there's an acquired taste for the true Mexican food.
Would agree.
As opposed to, and the same thing could be said about the Tex-Mex.
A lot of real Mexican food, too, and I know this because my grandma would make this stuff when I was a kid.
And I'm Mexican.
Is right. It's very, very, like, it's kind of cheap food. Like, a lot of these people come from poverty, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So they have to season things up. That's why it has so much flavor. That's why it tastes so good.
Same way barbecue started.
Okay, that's weird. I didn't know that about barbecue.
Yeah, barbecue started where they would take, inexpensive pieces of meat because that's what they could afford. And
what part of the cow is inexpensive, though?
Well, I mean, if you go far back enough, seafood used to be thought as poverty food, too. But they would take these cheap cuts of meat and do the slow and low, all the seasonings to make the best they could out of these pieces of meat that they could afford.
Like, if you think about it, like, what's big? Like, rice? Uh-huh. Like easy, like cheap beans. Be careful saying that on Twitter. like flour, all of this stuff. And the same thing with New Orleans. Like rice, beans, jambalaya. Like all of these things that you just have to over-season to make taste
right.
good. Like people from Louisiana, so they could make a an old chew taste good.
Mm-hmm.
So very similar to that. But yeah, I would actually say Tex-Mex.
I prefer Tex-Mex, but I like
both. I do too.
I mean, Mexico, yeah. You're getting a little bit of goat, stuff like that, stuff that you're not really familiar with. The palate's a little bit different. I used to like goat when I was a kid, and then I kind of grew out of it. I started to see hair on the meat, and I was like,
oh.
Yeah, that'll be enough to turn me off.
You see a little bit of hair on the meat. Virginia wants to put Brian on the list as well for his food take, in which he said that blackberry jelly is the best.
Has she tried it?
Jelly.
Virginia, have you tried it?
I don't think Virginia's a she, but...
What, Virginia's not a she?
I don't think Virginia on Twitch is a she.
I don't
She's
either.
Pretty comfortable.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure.
I just
stick
with the name.
Brian just called you a she, Virginia.
Yeah, well, okay.
You just made the list!
A second one for this week.
Oh, man. Mike Jones of The Athletic, he wasn't the only one, saying the Texans should be sellers at the deadline. Weird take to me. You make
me
the
too.
List.
Yeah.
You just made the list!
Bleacher Report had a best worst fit for top free agents in Major League Baseball. They list that Gerrit Cole's best fit is the Houston Astros. Tell me, Bleacher Report, that you don't pay attention to the Houston Astros without...
Yeah.
I mean, although they signed the best reliever this past offseason, the most expensive reliver.
Gerrit Cole's
also signed
not
the
going
most
for
expensive
$95 million,
first
though.
Baseman no. the year prior to that. And then, I think it was Poor Marine. Yeah, it was Poor Marine. He puts Mapes on the list. Apparently,
you just made the list!
Mapes picks this weekend from Saturday's Bull Bleep show, he says. He had Carson Beck for throwing over 275 yards. He threw for 175. He predicted a touchdown for Matthew Golden. Did not score a touchdown. Contravian Wisner, I don't
Wisner.
Know. Had him for over 58 yards rushing, actually 52. He says, poor Marine, to fade headband boy on everything he says this week. Let's be more cautious with predictions moving forward. So I believe it's the first time that Sean Mapes on the list.
You just made the list!
You know what I love about that, though? It proves what we've said before, that people who hate you listen twice as long. because poor Marine hates us, and yet he's listening to the bullpen on the Saturday.
I don't know that PM hates us.
I don't know if he hates you.
Well,
I just don't think he likes your I wouldn't even say
he might hate certain individuals in our group.
I know. I'm talking about me since I'm the host of that show.
You? I mean, listen, I think he disagrees with
your
takes.
He hates us.
Well, I'm a part of. Okay. Well, anyway.
I don't think poor Marine hates it. Poor Marine sent me money once.
Did he? Yeah.
That doesn't mean he likes you.
I mean, it's better than. I mean.
Careful now.
If you send somebody money, they're more likely to like you than not like you.
Or you just want to be a man and pay off
your
debts.
Yeah, you just want to make sure you take care of your.
It wasn't a bet. Oh. It wasn't a bet.
Service?
No, I can't. I don't think I legally cannot say.
Oh.
Because it would void the transaction between the two of us.
Okay.
So I legally cannot say.
Right.
I think I got it now. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Goldfish makes the list. They're temporarily changing their name to Chilean Sea Bass Crackers to attract adults.
To attract adults.
I mean, it's
adults is. Do I hear Chilean Sea Bass Crackers sounds good? I'm going to go grab a bag of those.
What adult other than Bobon is eating Goldfish?
I love Goldfish.
Bobon and name? Jeremy Branham.
No, Tobias Harris.
Parents. You know who eats Goldfish that are adults? Parents that buy them for your kids, and then you go into the pantry like,
right.
Salty snack. This looks pretty good right around now.
Tobias is Bobon's best friend. They do the commercials together.
Apparently, this is just a marketing ploy, and that it's only temporary, and that you can only order them online, but kind of funny. All right. Willibits coming up next. You never know what you're going to get with Willibits.
Made the list.
Who made the list? For saying Willibits is great,
no,
I made the
slip.
List.
It was a slip of the finger.
You made the list again.
Again, at three.
All right, what are you getting with the Willibits next? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, we talked a lot between Adam and Lee and all the games that are going on about a lot of football this weekend, and maybe you're engaged in that baseball series that's going on that really no one here should care about. But regardless, if you're going to have people over to the house to watch some sports, regardless of what you're serving from a food perspective, and we talked about all the great heats that you can serve from the wings and the pizza and the chips and dips and all those kind of things, but what you serve for beverages matters too. And just like you serve beer or hard liquor, I suggest you get yourself some Stella Rosa wines. Stella Rosa wines are awesome. They have just the right amount of alcohol with all natural fruit flavors and some spice, and they will go with just about everything you are serving at your get-together, whether it be a tailgate party or a viewing party. It's going to be an extra added beverage that people are going to love. You serve it chilled, and it's easy to enjoy. You don't have to nurse it because, like I said, there's just the right amount of alcohol, and it tastes delicious with all the foods on the table. Check it out today because it's available at your local retailers as well as your local liquor stores, and there's a variety of flavors to choose from. Oh, and by the way, they're also giving away tickets to the biggest college football game of the season. All you got to do, aside from going to your local retailer and picking up some Stella Rosa wine, is go to ESPNLADreamTicket.com for your chance to win two tickets to the biggest college football game of the season. Stella Rosa Vines, again, found at your local retailer. And remember, enjoy it chilled and always celebrate responsibly.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's the Killer Bees, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh, my goodness, would you look at this. What an enormous spin.
It's time for Buzzkill Branham.
What? Who put this in the rundown? A couple of texts real quick to Bad Take Boulevard. I wasn't paying attention. That's on me. 3243-975 crew saying Rockets, we're going to dog walk the Hornets.
Pretty true.
On social, every host had the Rockets beating the Hornets. Although my score, I only had the Rockets winning by one. So I think I was the closest.
Yeah, you had them winning 1-0.
Yeah. No, it wasn't the score. It was just them going 1-0. But, you know, could be looked at as I was the closest. Price is Right rules.
If you're looking at it.
967, that guy did, or lady. 9673, I lived in Colorado for 16 years, and their Mexican food is garbage.
There you go.
I would agree. Ocho, I prefer Taco Bell to authentic Mexican food.
Oh, no.
I think a lot of gringos would. I actually agree. I actually think a lot of gringos would.
Why? Because you love
so
sitting
different.
On the toilet for an hour?
Real authentic Mexican food is so different.
I know it's different, but nonetheless, it's still real food. Instead of, like, processed food and...
I mean, who are you talking to? We eat more processed food than any real food or whole food.
But I'm saying, as much as you said, it's still corn and rice, and the chicken or the beef is still like the real instead of like processed versions of that for Taco Bell.
It's debatable. Okay. It's debatable. Depends on where you're.
And there's more
your
flavor.
From.
It is spicier, but there's more flavor.
I think there is more. I mean, I like it more, but you know, I am who I am. All right, Willibits here. Brandon Willibits.
And I'm Mexico.
Thank you, Ryan. A little delayed. He was the opposite of Laramie Tunsil trying to get a head start on the snap.
And I'm Mexico.
670 to the score. They suggested the Cubs trade for Josh Hader. So this would be one way for the Astros to get creative to shed payroll right on the hook for, what, $19.5 million or whatever it is. I think it's $19.5 million. Here's the thing. Here's why I'm being Buzzkill Branham, you know, kind of what I do. He has a full no-trade clause in his contract. So, like, the Cubs, oh, we're the Cubs. Come on, Josh Hader. Come on down. Be the new closer for the completely useless by September team in Chicago. Josh Hader, I don't think, would accept that. First off, like, one, it's not easy to trade for a closer that's making that much money. That is a big financial commitment that the Cubs would have to make. Secondly, Josh Hader now would have to waive his no-trade clause. Josh Hader was talking all offseason and all year about how he was looking for a place to lay down his roots, to be there for a while. It was the whole reason he had the trade clause put into his contract. So the idea, whether it's from a Cub perspective, there's probably a good amount of Astro fans that would be perfectly okay with Josh Hader being traded because he is making $19.5 million and the Astros are being quote-unquote creative with their payroll. But the Buzzkill Branham element of this, Josh Hader's not going to waive a trade to anywhere, in my opinion. He's going to be here for the duration of his contract, maybe not the final year if the Astros are, like, you know, out of contention and they trade him at the deadline. But Josh Hader's not going anywhere and he's not going anywhere soon.
No, I mean, when you think about it, too, as much as he probably didn't want to admit it. I think they had his old man on at a home game where he said, I think the family all lives in Texas now. And I think that as much as he didn't want to admit it till free agency played out, he wanted to be here. I think that he liked it when he first got a taste of the organization when he was here previously. But for whatever the reason, he wanted to be as a member of the Houston Astros and he got what he wanted. Why in the hell would you suddenly, after only one season, decide that I'm going to waive my no trade and I'm going to go to the Cubs? I mean, this sounds like a conversation for Locked On Cubs talk in the offseason, because here it just, come on, man. It's not happening.
The chances of, and look, there's never a 0% chance forever. There's always a chance for anything. Josh Hader has a less than 1% chance of accepting a trade. I think it's that
agreed.
Low. I think it's that low.
I think that's high.
How do you do?
Yeah, he ain't going anywhere. And believe me, just ask him. He's not going to take a trade. He is happy where he's at, and he's going to stick it out.
Let's play the less than 1% chance. Would you be okay if Josh Hader was traded?
Yeah.
I think it depends on a lot of things. Like, your bullpen does take a huge hit. Like, now you only have one guy that you really trust in your bullpen. Some people might not trust Hader. I think Hader's going to have a bounce back year and be fine. But if you were to trade Hader, all you have is Abreu.
Yeah, you got Abreu. You're stuck with Presley for another year.
Right. Don't trust him, though. That's why I didn't include him.
But at the same time, you do and again, what you get back and how that affects your bottom line matters. But if you can clear all that money for the foreseeable future that you had to pay Josh Hader off the books, then there are ways that you can fortify your bullpen and not be stuck with four more years of Josh Hader at 19 a year.
I'm in a weird spot with Hader because he didn't have a good year, and I don't believe in signing big contracts to relief pitchers, but I do think Josh Hader's pretty good. I think he had a bad year. I think that Hader will be fine. Maybe not for the entire life of the contract, but I think he's going to be fine next year, year after.
I hope he comes back with a vengeance. I hope that, that was just his first year in Houston and kind of getting acclimated and figuring things out, and that he'll work on whatever he felt like wasn't working and be a different guy next year.
Maybe he'll be different if he trusts the catcher behind the plate. Maybe it'd be different if he mixed in a slider.
That might help. And then when your fastball is not being hit, don't go away from it.
Yeah, I think there's a reason he didn't throw that slider.
Oh, that's because you're a catcher, yeah.
I think there's a reason he didn't throw that slider. Would you be okay with Josh Hader being traded? 713-780-3776. And if you will, you're going to be disappointed because Hader will not waive his no-trade clause. I'm not sure how anybody watched that Rockets game yesterday and says that Jalen Green was the problem. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.